Take a peek behind the curtain. It's Your Gig Is Showing.
It is, and we're crossing now to Adelaide, which is my firm hope, to talk with Elena Kuzma, who plays with the all-female ensemble Daughters of Donbass, who are coming to Auckland to play this Thursday night, March 12th, at the St Heliers Church and Community Centre. And Daughters of Donbass, they're a music and human rights project to highlight the plight of at least 20,000 Ukrainian children abducted from occupied Ukraine and taken to Russia, which I'm really interested to find out how this comes about and to find out more about it. And Elena features on vocals and plays the bandura, which is a traditional Ukrainian stringed instrument. And Elena, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. And I believe you're there with Daniel Rosenberg. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning.
How are you two? It's 7 a.m. in Adelaide, I believe.
Yeah, doing okay, but, you know, jet lag kind of helps in this regard.
Right. So, Daniel, if you could explain, you know, what your role is around Daughters of Donbass before we start.
Yeah, I have a background as a journalist and also a music producer. And I met with Marichka and Alina in late 2024 about this idea of using music to tell the story about what is happening in Ukraine. How Russian soldiers are stealing tens of thousands of Ukrainian children. And sadly, this is a story that hasn't been covered very much in the news, despite the fact that the International Criminal Court in The Hague has indicted Vladimir Putin and his deputy Maria Belova for this war crime. And over the past, I guess, little over a year, the ensemble has created this incredibly moving project to tell that story of songs of stolen children. And they've been touring the world, and this week they're at Warm Adelaide in Australia.
Right, and done one gig already.
Yes, we had a short show. It wasn't our usual set, but it was like a cooking and some a cappella singing for the audiences last night.
Did you say cooking?
Yeah, there's a small kind of like side event that they host here that, you know, brings together food and music.
Wonderful. Did you create or talk about Ukrainian food?
Oh, we made what's called lazy vareniki or lazy pierogies. Basically, it's like a sweet gnocchi.
Nice. I bet that went down well.
Absolutely did, really quickly.
Yeah. Daniel, just to carry on what you were talking about, the name Daughters of Donbass comes from the region, obviously the Donbass, which is on the Russian-Ukrainian border. But Russia now has, I believe, something like 90% control of it. Is that right?
I'm not an expert on the exact percentage.
But what, yeah, I'm just going to hop in. But yeah, the Donbass is a region of Ukraine. It is the basin of the Don, and it encompasses the eastern, I guess, sort of quadrant of Ukraine. It's been under, like, parts of it have been under Russian occupation since 2014, since the earliest onset of the war. And that is where a lot of the children who are being forcibly transferred to Russia are from, is Donbass.
What's happening with these children? Why have the Russians taken them captive?
Well, that's a really good question. It's part of what we have to really remember is a genocidal project. It is an effort of war. It is a systematic method of erasure of Ukrainian identity. You can take kids out of their home country, away from their families, away from their schools, away from their friends and their native land, and transfer them to Russian families, to Russian schools, where they are told that, you know, their people, their homes, their families, that they are the enemy, that they are dangerous, that they are not to be trusted, and that Russia saves them. It's a method of erasure, and it's a clear way to do that. It's a literal way to take away Ukraine's future.
Gee, what a horrible fate for them.
Absolutely, yeah.
So how do you know about these children? You know, how have you found out about these children? Do you speak with any of them?
Yeah, well, the Ukrainian government is all hands on deck with trying to get in touch with these kids, trying to find some connection to them in order to hopefully bring them back, or just to at least track and figure out what are the systems at play, how is this possible, how can you cut off the spigot? And there have been children that have returned. So most of them, unfortunately, I think it's something like, it's pretty devastating, but there's only a small percent, maybe like 2%, even if that, that have been returned home. But we are actually in touch with a few of them, and the Ukrainian government has worked with those who have returned to catalog their stories, to make sure they are heard. And a lot of them are publicly open because these kids and their families want people to know that this is happening. But we are in touch with one survivor of this system. Her name is Lisa. She's currently a 19-year-old from Mariupol, a city which was taken over in 2022 by Russian forces. She was deported to Russia with her family, luckily. So that did make things easier for her. But at every turn of the journey, she saw that she was, you know, kind of being coerced to leave her family, to be separated from them so that she could be taken to Russia and be, you know, become part of the lost, basically. We're in touch with her, and she actually got out of Russia with help from a mentor of hers. And now she and her family are safe in Germany. And our band leader, Marichka, was able to track her down and meet with her to talk about her story. And when they met, Marichka actually realized, wait, Lisa is actually a musician. Lisa is a great speaker. Why don't we bring her into this project? So she has traveled with us to the UK. We've been lucky enough to have her story with us everywhere we go, that we share from the podium. Either she reads it if she's able to come with us, if a visa allows, or we read it in her stead. So that is how we know, and we have a very direct, link to these stolen children.
Right. And Daniel, as a journalist, I imagine you write about this.
Yeah. On this issue, I haven't written articles, but, you know, I have devoted much of my life to covering human rights issues and creating music projects about this. But the person who has worked as a journalist on this issue is Marichka, who has recently released a documentary called Code 450 and spent much of the past couple of years working in Donbas, which is quite a remarkable thing to think about, that you have this incredible Ukrainian folk singer who is working in Donbas, has that experience to be able to share those stories and turn them into music.
Right. So Marichka is the lead vocalist of Daughters of Donbas. You're a vocalist too, Alina, and also you play a traditional instrument called the bandura.
That is correct.
Yeah. So what does that look like, that instrument?
Excellent question. So it is shaped like a lowercase letter B, but it's massive. I can't really give you dimensions, but it's about the size of a cello, and I hold it on my lap, all of it. It's a harp, technically, but it has a back. But I like to describe it as though someone cut out the inside of a piano into a letter B and just put it on my lap.
Right. Is it hard to handle?
I mean, as a woman who's only, you know, just over 5 feet and with a, you know, what is it, 9-kilogram instrument, it's a lot.
Yeah, I bet. We're going to play a track now from your new album. And in terms of who's on tour with you at the moment, Daughters of Donbas, how many of you are in the lineup? And are part of you, is there partly a string quartet who are added on, or are some of you in that?
So we travel with most of the string quartet. Those traveling right now are myself, Marichka, our cellist Zoe Santo, our Our violist, Zoe Santo, our cellist, Charlie Wilgos, and another vocalist, Masha Gurakova. And we have been traveling together, but in most places everywhere we stop, we hire local musicians. So we hire a local violinist and a bassist.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you must be delighted that the album is out.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and so I want to play Lullaby off it, and you're obviously on this, playing the bandura.
Yes.
Right, let's have a listen to what you're bringing to Auckland. You're here next Thursday night. It's Thursday, isn't it? So this is Lullaby, and it's from the new Daughters of Donbass album.
Thank you.
Beautiful. That was Lullaby from Daughters of Donbass from their new album Songs from Stolen Children. And I'm speaking with Alina Kazma, and who is a vocalist and a bandura player based in Toronto, Canada, who plays in the all-female ensemble Daughters of Donbass, and is joined this morning by journalist Daniel Rosenberg, who are in Adelaide. How is it in Adelaide, by the way, you two? How's the weather?
Oh, it's great. We are outside and we have a really nice breeze right now. Beautiful morning.
Great. And how's Womadelaide going? Is it a lot of punters?
Oh, it's incredible. Like, I've never been at a festival this large, which is saying a lot. I've been to many of them, but it's quite something.
Great. Well, we're looking forward to... Sorry, Daniel, carry on.
Yeah, it's just quite remarkable to get to present Songs of Stolen Children at a festival with, I think, 40,000 people are attending, and in each of the stages at every individual concert, there's thousands of people in the audience. And I'd imagine most of them probably haven't heard a program like this, and just like getting to be on your program here today in New Zealand, not just to share beautiful music, but to tell these stories about what's happening right now in Ukraine, what's happening with these children that have been taken to Russia, and the urgency of working to try to get them home.
Yeah, I'm very pleased to have you, and we're looking forward to having you in Auckland on Thursday night, March 12th, and playing at the St. Heliers Church and Community Centre. It's a really lovely venue. I had a look at it online. It's a gorgeous room, so it's going to be a wonderful night. And Alina, I wanted to ask you about the bandura. When did you learn to play this? As a child?
As a child, yeah, it's a bit of a long kind of explanation, but to keep it short, I am actually a fourth generation bandura player in my family. So it was kind of, I like to describe it as a member of the family, the way that bandura was a part of our lives. So it was just kind of a slow immersion. Eventually I started taking on a bit more and learning a song here, learning a couple songs next. As most people probably know, it's very hard to teach your kids anything. So my mom would kind of, you know, pass this off to friends of hers who we were able to learn stuff from a little more easily. So it's been a lifelong journey. It is not a simple instrument to play, but that is basically how I learned, yeah.
Great. And do you have family still in Ukraine?
I do, yeah. I have second cousins and relations kind of at that level of separation, I suppose. But we're still in touch with them. You know, I wish I could say that everything's fine, but it's not. You know, at the best, you have family that's, you know, conserving heat with their own body temperature and coats inside their homes in a bitter winter. And on the other side, like I have relatives that have unfortunately passed due to the war. And there's other family that my family here my family in North America has lost touch with entirely in the Eastern Oblast. So that's the case with any Ukrainian you ask. That's kind of the answer you'll get.
Right. I just want to talk about some of the songs on the album. There's a track on the album called Remember I Believe in You, which is about a real family that went through this kidnapping procedure, and they made it out of Russia, reunited. So have you met this family? Who is this family?
We have not met this family, but Marishka, our band leader, is scheduling something. She's hoping to meet them this spring, probably. So this is the story of the Mezhevoy family of Yevhen and his three kids. He is a single father from Mariupol, again, from the city that was taken over in 2022 and where a lot of the early devastation happened. After surviving that siege, which was devastating on civilians, thousands of people probably died. We still don't know the numbers of casualties. The troops came in, the Russian troops came in, and they started filtering people. And so Yevhen's family was filtered. He was quickly separated from his three kids. He was imprisoned in well, in horrible, inhuman conditions where he was forced to sleep standing up. He was, I guess, held captive for probably 90 days or so. And meanwhile, he didn't know where his kids were. Sorry, we have some sirens over here in the background. But after getting out, Yevhen was able to track down his kids, found out they were in Russia with the help of hackers and activists. Sorry about that. and then he, after going through multiple borders, because there is no direct way into Russia through Ukraine, he was able to find his kids before they were adopted, like probably weeks before that happened. The process to adopt in Russia has gotten short-tracked in order to facilitate this mass kidnapping. But he was able to get in touch with them, and he was actually able to get them out with the help of activists in Ukraine. And now they are settled in Riga, Latvia. But all through his ordeals in his mind, he repeated to himself, I believe in myself, I believe in myself. And he also was sending, I guess, wishes to his kids. He was sending these thoughts to his kids of, I believe in you. Remember, I believe in you. And then when they were finally reunited, Yevhen and his kids, the kids said, Dad, we believed in you. They were telling us you were dead. They were telling us you forgot about us. They were telling us that you weren't ever coming for us, but we believed in you. And that's how this song came about.
Oh, great. It was a good story and true, you know, that even makes it more profound. Daniel, I mean, all of us, you must have been disheartened to see another war break out between the US, Israel and Iran and to know the effect on children.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that sadly doesn't get covered much in the news. Children are the most vulnerable in war zones, wherever those wars occur, and are often victims of these horrific crimes. So to be able to have a project like this to spotlight their stories and what is the true human impact of war, and it's, in this case too, you know, what happened to those children when they were taken from their father, Yevhen, and placed in an orphanage and told that their father died, as Alina had said. I mean, could you imagine the trauma that they went through? And then Marichka turned this into just an absolutely beautiful and at the same time haunting song. The string section plays the air raid sirens that sadly so many cities in Ukraine have to endure every night, and so many people can't sleep because, you know, this is what life in Ukraine is like today.
Well, let's end on an optimistic note, if there is one, and there definitely is many on this album. And this is a military term, 4.5.0?
Yeah, the term is 450.
450, right, so, okay.
Yes, yes. So this is basically a radio code for the Ukrainian Armed Services. There's different codes for different events, different situations. And 450 means everything's good. Nothing's happened. Everyone's okay. And so we took that as, in its literal sense, we kind of wanted, we wanted to create a piece that, I guess, looks forward to the day when everything is 450, when you call your family and, you know, the response is everything's okay. And when you don't have to, you know, worry anymore about your loved ones. And this song also kind of, we think of it as a mother singing to her stolen child who is not with her. But again, she's singing to her child, one day we'll be together, one day everything will be 450.
Well, 450 to you two. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Alina and Daniel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And as I said, look forward to seeing you in Auckland. And I imagine there'll be many people who want to come and listen to this gig. It's just an incredible album. So appreciate it. And enjoy the rest of your time in Adelaide.
Thank you very much. And thank you for having us and holding space for the story.
Absolute pleasure. This is 450.
Коли дійдеш до краю, і ступиш за край, і поглине пітьма золовою. Лиш одне загадай, щоб сказала вона, ти не бійся, я поруч з тобою. Коли за нами вход, Коли відчаї сумніви, втома і страх, стисне серце глухою журбою, прозвучить одкровенням в її устах. Не журися, я тут, я з тобою. І коли вже зламається вій світова, коли згорнеться небо своєм і зніс відки долинуть її слова, все нормально, я тут, я з тобою, ти не здавайся.
That was Your Gig Is Showing.